This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tamotu, MPR.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on MPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for MPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Hi, I'm Greg Watson, and welcome to the show Property Matters, where we talk all things property. Whether you're a landlord, a tenant, whether you're buying or selling, we're hoping there'll be something here for you in this week's edition of Property Matters. Let's look first at the rather localised markets here in the Manawatu, Whanganui district. And then we might look also at what's happening nationally and even internationally to a certain extent. We've got some interesting stuff out of Australia and the United States. The sales market here in the Manawatu is considerably busy in terms of buyers, although there is still a bit of a shortage of properties to buy. So it does mean that the prices are staying high for the time being, and in most situations there are genuine multiple offer situations arising where people are having to put in their very best efforts in order to buy properties. This is making it a bit hard for some. And certainly if there's a situation where somebody has missed out two or three times on properties, they will put that high bid or high amount on the property in order to make sure they get it. And that makes it hard if you're coming into the market. It will take a little bit of time for you to get the hang of what's happening in the market here locally. But then again, it doesn't take too long to realise when a good property comes along and what you might like to pay for it. On the positive side of things, the market is still going to go up in value for some time yet to come. So that is something that you can rest on, knowing that if you pay a little bit more than what you're comfortable with for a property for sale, if you buy one and you feel you've spent a little bit much, that will quickly take care of itself, in my view, in terms of the capital growth. So this is following on to the rental market, with rents still being reasonably high. Demand has lessened off a bit after the very busy time that we have January, February and a little bit of March. So now we're just getting the people who are transferring, moving around. There is still fundamentally a bit of a shortage, which means that there is not a lot for people to choose between for rental properties, particularly in certain price ranges. The lower price ranges, very difficult to find somewhere to rent. And then the And by lower, I mean under $300 per week. Even one-bedroom or two-bedroom properties, there is very few indeed. My friend Bob, who works with real estate in Fielding and with property management, is consistently looking out for properties to rent, as the Fielding market is also very, very busy, both with selling and renting. And there's often a situation where there is virtually no properties at all available in Fielding to rent. So quite a tricky one for people renting as well. So let's have a look at what's been happening in the news. In the last week, we had a bit of a local focus on the new look council flats that have been unveiled in Palmerston North. And I really like them. It's the first social housing development that we've had in more than three decades. And it's setting a great standard. It's providing, according to PNCC Councillor Susan Beattie, said that social housing provides housing for some of the vulnerable people we've got in our community, and it means that they can have some subsidised rent and even a good quality of life. They've got a home for life. They never have to be kicked out, so it means they're safe and secure. And what I liked about these ones was the very clever design. They're in Papioia Place. And 32 old units were being moved, bulldozed, if you like, for 50 new ones. And the great thing about that is the properties are going to be warmer and the power bill's cheaper. And the properties are in close proximity, but they really have a nice feel to it. And Susan Beattie says that the new designs put the social back into social housing after the older properties ended up being the opposite. And because they were old and not comfortable and cold. People used to shut themselves away, she said, and they're on quite big sections, whereas now it's compacted down to small ones. And there's the social housing portfolio here in Palmers North is about 400 units, and setting a good model, she says, for the type of housing that is probably needed in this area, which is not large houses, but just the smaller homes, as the average number of residents per household is only about 2.7. So that's something that trying to match that demand with the type of housing is something that they are doing well. There still needs to be more, I believe, in terms of the amount of social housing that can come from a higher level, from the government level as well. So then I was looking a bit further afield. Does anyone else have this sort of issue as well? And there's an article in the New Zealand Herald which says, waiting list grows for council-owned pensioner housing in Tararua District. And Tararua District has had a large increase in residents aged 65 or over, and that's putting added pressure on the pensioner housing that the council provides. And they've got more than 50 people on the waiting list, including some of those who wouldn't ordinarily meet the criteria. The demand for the council flats in that area is also reflects the very tight rental market, a bit like what we've got here in Palmerston North. I was having a look myself just at Woodville just earlier today, and there was only one place available. So the demand has increased significantly. The Tararua District Council has said that it's certainly something that has no signs of reducing, this busyness. And what we find is that the regional areas have been growing in value nicely with regards to properties, but also the rental amounts as well. And it is a challenge with people moving to these areas because larger cities are becoming less affordable and the pressure just filters on down. So I'll move on now to Napier and the Hawke's Bay, where the councillor Maxine Bogue says that they've got a housing crisis and please get more social housing for the government. This is something I believe strongly, and I believe that the government should stop targeting investors who are trying to get ahead a bit in life, as most landlords in this country only have one rental property or one to two rental properties, and just increase that stock, increase the state level, the state housing, in order to get that going well. So this is mirrored a little bit with the Napier City Councillor, Maxine Bogue, who's wanting to have a conversation with the government, with the central government, on the funding of council-run housing. And that's something that I think we could do well here in Manawatu and Tararua as well. So all of the social housing, she says, whether it's the social housing providers, Housing New Zealand or councils, have got long waiting lists. Where do these people go in the meantime? I honestly don't know. And Napier also needs a bit of an upgrade in its social housing. The average age of social housing in that area is 48 years old. So, again, Napier's possibly got a bit of a choice which is similar to the one that Palmerston North had, which is, do we do a major investment to upgrade individual properties, which would be difficult to fund, or can they get more social housing made? And in the case of Napier, she said it would be a win-win situation for a government, which helps councils in this regard, because the councils have not necessarily got the funds to do so. Moving on now to other news, and around March 27th, the Reserve Bank Governor, Adrian Orr, said that the next move for interest rates was more likely to be a cut than an increase. And so Stuff reported on this, saying that the dollar drops as markets see rising chance of interest rate cuts next month. So the economists have, at least at ASB, have brought forward when they believe the Reserve Bank will cut interest rates following another gloomy business confidence forecast. And for the first time in 6 months, more businesses expect a decline in their activity in the next 3 months than expect an improvement. And as a result, the ASB senior economist Jane Turner said the bank was now predicting the Reserve Bank would cut the official rate by 25 basis points in May, that's next month, and then again in August, taking the benchmark rate to an all-time low of 1.25%. And ANZ, which became the first major New Zealand bank to predict OCR cuts in 2019, is actually forecasting that the Reserve Bank will wait until August before lowering it. However, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. The OCR has, why this is important in the housing context, is that the OCR has an influence on the rate at which consumers pay for loans or earn on deposits. And that's where it can become easier to pay mortgages and as a result of this happening. So as can happen, the New Zealand dollar dropped. In the construction sector, businesses, they feel, were facing sharply increased input prices while also cutting their own prices. And architects are interesting. They're seen as a leading indicator of how construction will perform in the coming years, and they've reported a weakening in the pipeline for future work. So these are all factors that will create this likelihood to be able to pass on the OCR, or the OCR will reduce the basis points down possibly to 1.25. So watch this space. And that leads on to another article that was on Stuff recently, and it's titled "All Major Banks Offer Less Than 4%, So Should You Lock Your Mortgage In?" So it's great. It's a good time to be a home loan borrower, they say, and the banks are now offering interest rates below 4% out to terms for as long as 3 years. That's amazing in terms of historically in recent times or medium to long term, that is where it is, and it's great. The economists say further cuts may be on the horizon. In Westpac, economists predict the Reserve Bank will cut the official rate to 1.5% next month, and that was in line with what the ANZ is also predicting. And they said that it could mean further cuts in fixed home loan rates. But at the moment, Kiwi Bank, Westpac, SBS, TSB, BNZ and ASB are all offering 3.99% fixed loans for 2 years. Great for some surety there as well. So if we compare that to 10 years ago in April 2009, borrowers were being offered an average 6.2%, still better than a year earlier than that, where it was 9.6%. It means someone with a $500,000 mortgage now pays $1,216 a fortnight over 25 years compared to $1,514 10 years ago. So they're paying $300 less over a fortnight. Infometrics, economist Brad Olson is also saying he's expecting the cash rate to drop and fall to 1.25 by the end of the year. So all the banks and the people that are in the know are tending to say that they believe these similar things will happen. The fixed rates of the banks, we'll just have to see whether they actually reduce over this year or whether they keep things the same and just increase their margins. So they go on to say that if you're looking to fix, it might be worth shopping around and waiting a bit. And at the same time, with the sales volumes now a bit lower, or at least I should qualify that, that would be mainly in the Auckland area, there's a chance for potential buyers to haggle terms and rates with their banks to find a good deal. So if you're not already, it's a good time to consider switching from a floating to a fixed rate. Westpac said 2-year rates seem to offer the best value for borrowers, as long-term rates looked expensive. And we'll go to a break now, and we've got some Kiwi music here with Anika Moa, "Dreams in My Head."
I never expected a call from you.
And that was Anika Moa. This is Greg Watson on Property Matters, a show where we talk all things property. And let's have a look at what's happening with the Auckland market at the moment. And you know that the Auckland market is really its separate beast compared to the remainder of the country. But there's been headlines such as the Auckland housing market turning in the buyer's favour, according to tvnz.co.nz. And that's really is just a case of an Auckland matter, really, with regards to the prices there. And there's been numerous examples which were given on Stuff recently where they're saying that twice as many Aucklanders losing money on their homes. Now, let's put a little bit of context around this. If you're in a situation where you have bought recently in Auckland and now have to sell, yes, there's a chance that you might, just might, be losing some money on your property. But the headline of twice as many Aucklanders losing money on their homes is a pretty dramatic one. So this is really people who are selling the properties for less than what they paid for them. So new data from homes.co.nz, which is based on sales information lodged with the local council, shows that 7.2% of sales in the first quarter of this year have resulted in a capital loss for Auckland property owners. And that's compared to 3.1% for the same period in 2018. But it's not only the homeowners in our biggest city that are eating up out of pocket, Christchurch as well. 12.1% of sales in the first quarter of this year resulted in the owner losing money on the deal. So let's look at a couple of examples. There's one Auckland property on East Coast Road. It was bought for $2.5 million in September 2017 and just sold in January for $2 million. There's Wellington has also been affected by this. Let's look at some other examples. There's one in McLean's Road in Auckland, which sold for $1.7 million after changing hands in 2016 for $2.15. So that's tough. And some of the things to consider are maybe taking your home off the market if you don't have to sell, and then just selling when the market picks up again. It shouldn't take too long, I wouldn't think, for Auckland to do that. The fact that some people are selling at a loss is not really surprising. Even in an economy that continues to grow and the labour market remains tight, but there's always some people whose personal circumstances have altered due to factors such as a job change or relationship breakup, which forces them to sell the property. And that's the tough one if you have to sell at the moment. Our friends across the Tasman in Australia, the New Zealand Herald has run the headline, Aussie House Price Warning, Day of Reckoning is Coming. And so the Australian property markets, they say, are facing a day of reckoning if Labor wins the election and follows through with its plan to scrap negative gearing benefits for landlords, pundits warn. So the opposition wants to scale back the generous tax perks, and we used to have these in New Zealand too, negative gearing benefits, and the government here has been largely doing away with those. And that will probably slow the market down, and you could be hit hard on a market like Australia's where values are going down anyway. So that could lead to, Dominique Grubisa, the founder of DG Institute, an investment consultancy, told news.com.au that the loss of negative gearing, except for investors who buy newly built dwellings, will lead to plummeting house values and rising rents. The Reserve Bank of Australia has also expressed concern about the state of property prices across the country. And for those of you who aren't aware, the prices went up massively in Australia in your larger centres to the point where they're really getting out of hand. So if Labor does get in, makes these changes, and if there was a large-scale exit of landlords, of course, that means that those landlords, if they can't get the tax benefits, might leave the market. And again, that'll bring downward pressure on house prices. Can also mean that the market for landlords and the people wanting to buy their first homes, it might be easier for them. And it sort of mirrors a little bit what they've been looking at here. And if there are fewer landlords renting out their homes, as is the case in New Zealand, as they go through these changes, then rental house prices will rise, particularly in areas that have already actually got a housing shortage. So there's no real right or wrong about this, but certainly things that are happening in the local market here are being mirrored to a certain extent in Australia. And to put it in context, the New Zealand Herald ran an article saying that Aussie house prices keep sliding and that Sydney is off 14%. So they call it a house price slump, and it's deepened further with the latest stats showing Sydney prices are now down by 14% from their peak, Melbourne prices down almost 11% and from their peak, and the national price fall is 7.4%. Now, I must again state that there were really pretty massive gains over there. So even if it comes off a bit, it's still been a very good investment in terms of property, etc. On the positive news for Kiwis, last year the ASB economics team looked at the historical correlation between Australian and New Zealand markets. And what they concluded was that there is a link, but the correlation was strongest between Sydney and Auckland. Although Auckland and New Zealand hasn't seen the same level of new dwelling construction as the Australian cities, there's a tighter supply here and there's relatively high levels of immigration, which means that it's unlikely that the Auckland market would go into a slump as such. So if you don't have to sell, you can try and bite the bullet for a little bit longer because things are still going well. The rest of New Zealand, excluding Auckland, was still up by more than 10% for the year, according to the Real Estate Institute of New Zealand, even though Auckland's median prices were off by 2.4% in the last year. So there was another article in New Zealand Herald where they talked about how to fix the housing crisis. And it's interesting because Ashley Church, who wrote the article, says that if you'd asked me to define the housing crisis 3 years ago, I'd have said it was epitomised by escalating house prices, keeping some buyers out of the market, and a severe shortage of housing, particularly in Auckland. Although today, Ashley's saying that I'd define the housing crisis as the risk of declining capital values, the knock-on effect on the broader economy, and still a severe shortage of housing in New Zealand for buyers and renters. And so he wrote, and he justified this to a certain extent, but he's come up with three ways to really help solve, if you like, or fix the housing crisis. The first one was, firstly, abandon the plans to punish investors. And the coalition government's plans to hit investors in the pocket and scare them out of the market certainly plays well to a section of their support base, but they fly in the face of the things that we need to be doing to solve the housing and rental crisis. So they really should shelve the plans to introduce capital gains tax on investment property, retain transferable tax losses, and if not entirely, then at least for those who invest in new dwellings. The second thing Ashley Church believes is that they should remove the LVR, that's the loan-to-value ratio, restrictions on new dwellings for investors. Removing these restrictions would encourage investor activity at a time when the market's flat and would act as a huge incentive to build at a time when we need a big increase in new dwellings. So that seems to make quite a lot of sense. And you could limit that policy to a period like, say, 2 years to motivate people to act and just confine that to the flat period of the housing cycle in Auckland. Another thing Ashley Church says is to remove LVR restrictions on dwellings for first home buyers, which one of the biggest obstacles to getting in the market for first home buyers is a large deposit required due to the LVR restrictions, currently 20% of the purchase price. And removing that requirement would eliminate the need for unrealistic savings or the bank of mum and dad and would level the playing field so that anyone with a decent household income and a good credit rating could get into their own home. Again, you could limit that for a couple of years just to get the market going. So you could tweak that a little bit, but that's certainly some interesting thoughts there on how to fix the market and get things happening quicker. And that leads to the final story for today, which was headlined, "The City Where You Can Buy a House for Just $1." And if you've ever wanted to enter the property market but found $1 million three-bedroom homes of Auckland are a bit too far, well, one US city has decided to shake things up and is selling 522 homes for just $1. St. Louis officials are looking to save their town from decay, with many homes needing renovation work. And according to city officials, the 522 vacant single-family properties will be sold to bidders so long as they provide a detailed plan and budget to fix up the homes. So in a guide to the program, they say they're always seeking new ways to sell more of the buildings that it owns. And purchasing city-owned property is an effective way to bring city properties back into productive and effective use and invest in the growth of neighbourhoods. So the application itself costs $25 and the buyer is asked to obtain a $250 insurance policy. However, it's a really interesting way. The city owns about 12,000 vacant properties, lots and buildings. If St. Louis isn't your ideal location, though, the Italian town of Locarno is offering to pay people more than $14,000 over 3 years to relocate and take up residency as long as they have a child and a minimum salary of $9,000 per year. So they're offering to pay people more than $14,000 over 3 years to relocate and take up residency. Maybe we could do with a little bit of that in this country. Anyway, this is Greg Watson. This has been Property Matters. Thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to bringing you another show next week. Have a great week.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.